Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. I'm really excited to have my guest on for the first time today. I haven't had you on before, and I'm wondering why, because we've known each other for a long time, and I've edited, I think, three or four of your books at this point. So my guest today is Wendy Sand Eckel. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm great. It's great to see you.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but it was a really long time ago. Well, really long time ago. Is like always for me, like pre-pandemic. That was seems a really long time ago. But we did a library event, maybe it was like 5 or 6 years ago in Baltimore together. It was really fun. We did like a culinary sort of event. And that's when I think when I first met you. So
Yes,
that was.
I think we did too, and I think the first one, I remember I had a rock hit my windshield, and they gave me a rental car, and it was like this massive expedition. And so I was driving up to Baltimore from the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and it was the day of the Capitol shootings. And
Oh,
do you remember that?
right. Yes, I do
Yeah.
remember that.
And it
Yeah.
took me forever to get there, and we were all shell shocked from the shootings. And we, yeah, that was the first one, I think. That was an intense day.
Yes, I do remember that now. That's crazy. I forgot all about it. Well, how many tragedies can we suffer through? Sort of like, oh yeah, I remember that terrible day. But
Right.
yes. It's good that I got to see to meet you and everyone was okay at our event. But yeah, that's it's ugh,
Absolutely.
you know. We're always going through all these things. Well, I'm going to introduce you for the folks that aren't haven't picked up your books yet, but I'm pretty sure everyone needs to run out and get them after this. After they hear you talking, they're going to go get them. Wendy is the award-winning author of the Rosalie Hart mystery series, and they're all wonderful. The most recent one is the one I think we're going to talk about today, but we could talk about the whole series. And that one is Killer in a Winter Wonderland, and that's the fourth book. Her mystery series has been awarded Best Cozy by Suspense Magazine and Mystery at Windswept Farm, the third made humorous but novel bestseller on Amazon. So that's very, it's always fun to hit those Amazon bestseller categories. I didn't know this about you. A trained life coach, Wendy writes the advice column for the Maryland Writers Association newsletter and enjoys mentoring aspiring authors. She lives in a small town on the eastern shore of Maryland, a unique and quirky part of the country, that I can attest to that, which is also the setting for her series. In addition to her husband, she lives with two male orange tabbies, Frodo and Sam, who her daughter rescued from a soybean field. She loves to cook, me too, and is happiest when her kitchen is filled with friends and family and the table is brimming with savory food and wine. And I'm not sure why we don't hang out more often because we sound like the same
Seriously.
person.
Absolutely.
So tell us about Killer in a Winter Wonderland and about the series in general.
Let's well, the Rosalie Hart mystery series, like you said. And by the second book, she owns a cafe. So that's where the culinary comes into. She's an amateur sleuth. It's a cozy mystery. It's set in a fictional small town on the Eastern Shore. And I just have so much fun writing the mysteries, but also with the food. And I was writing Windswept Farm during the pandemic. And in the third book, she studies with an Italian chef, an authentic Italian chef. So all I did was read Italian cookbooks and make Italian food. I was obsessed. It was so much fun. So, and Killer in a Winter Wonderland is holiday themed. And I was inspired last Christmas. My husband had never read A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And so we spent the time, he would read me a chapter at a time, or when he read a really neat phrase, he would read that to me. And so we both really got into this book, and I was inspired by it, and mainly the writing, and the way he worked in the holiday. And but his writing is incredible. I'm not saying my writing is equal to his in any sense of the word, but I really had fun weaving some things from that book through this book to really get that sense of holiday. And I always wanted to write a holiday themed book, and I really had fun. There's so much you can do with the scenery, the feelings, the scenes. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it's good. Well, you're a great writer, and this was actually going to be my fifth question, but I'm going to make it my first because it's a natural segue. So you're writing a holiday mystery, and I've always been intrigued by this concept. I've written one, but it's sort of like introducing a murder, into the holidays. It's like your publisher's like, "Hey, can you write a holiday theme mystery where everyone gets killed?" Like, so it's this we have this weird job. So, were there any challenges for you writing a mystery, a holiday mystery? Is it inherently weird for you to think about it, or was it easy, or did you have any challenges at all?
Well, I do get a lot of reactions to the title, Killer in a Winter Wonderland. I get a lot of questions about that. But it just seems so perfect for me. I think once you know this, once you get into the book, you write the book and just trust that people will have a suspension of disbelief. That's what we have to do when you have so many murders in a small town. You just trust that your reader's just going to trust you to take them down a road that they're comfortable going down, and you're not going to mess up their holidays. In fact, it's got a very satisfying ending. So I think it's a fun read for the holidays because when you finish, hopefully, you got a really nice feeling, even though there's a murder.
Yeah, I mean, for a movie set chef, my protagonist has solved seven crimes. Fine, you hope to not have one murder in your life, much less, a dozen. But that's just
Exactly.
how it goes when you're writing cozy mysteries. Just is what it is. Everyone get over it. Okay,
Right.
this is what we're doing. Okay, well, this is, I just want to know, because you're so accomplished, you've done a lot of different things, you're a life coach. How did your fiction writing career get started in the first place?
The first book I wrote was not a mystery. It was my daughter was in second grade and she was diagnosed with dyslexia. And I had to fight very hard. I was a social worker, a licensed clinical social worker, and was working as the therapist, thought I knew everything about learning disabilities, but realized I didn't know anything. And so I fought really hard to get her what she needed and did. And she's doing great now. She's totally read and write and everything she needs to do. But the school found me so too disruptive, so they kicked her out of school in second grade. So it was a private school, small private school. And so after, I got her in a school that was really going to help her, I looked back on the whole experience and everything I went through and she went through. So I wanted to write a nonfiction book about it. Had a terrible time trying to do that, so I wrote a novel. And that came out so quickly. It just fell onto the page, and I realized how much I love to write. And so my mom used to read mysteries. She was a professor of geology at Kent State, and she would take us to the library in the summers, and she would get a stack of a mystery series on Monday, read it all week, and then take us back to the library so she could get another stack of mysteries. And so she had the summers off. So if she was nearing the end, we all knew, all three of my two sisters and I knew not to disturb her while she was at the end. Just don't say a word. She would just put up her finger. And so she loved mystery. And then I had a little experience. I studied in my undergrad. I took my minor was in criminology. And so I've always been fascinated with that kind of thing, with crime and its effects and after effects. And mainly because when I was a senior in high school, I was living in Ohio, and that's when you could drink 3.2% if you were 18. And so my parents were out of town, and my girlfriends and I were like, let's go up to Canton, Ohio, and go to a bar and drink some beer. I was legal. They all had fake IDs. So we all get a beer and we sit down. And the next thing we know, we get surrounded by cops, and they take us to the police station because my friends had fake IDs. And apparently, you get stamped at the door, but they stamped me 6% instead of 3.2%. So they took me to the police station because I was drinking 6% beer. So my friends were all minors, so they got to go into a nice little room and wait for their parents. They booked me. They took my fingerprint, my mugshot. They started to take me back to a cell, and finally one of the other cops said, maybe we're taking this a little too far. And so I scraped up enough money with my friends to get bail and went home, and my parents didn't come home till the next night, and I had to tell them. It was in the paper in the Canton paper, and but my parents handled it great. My dad's like, well, you're innocent, so I'm going to get you a lawyer. He later said it was like a $45 bond, and the lawyer cost $300. And so so anyway, it was quite an experience, and I will never forget it. My life could have changed. I was applying to colleges. I mean, so much could have changed. Thank goodness everything was expunged. But my mom later, she did baby books for all three of us when we were adults, just to and they were all sweet. And at the end of mine, she had the little receipt for the bail down in the corner on the last page. She
I
never
thought you were
let
going
me
to say,
forget
I thought you were going to say, like, your mugshot was on the final. Like,
it. Exactly.
Thanks,
So
Mom.
yes, that piqued my interest in mystery and crime and that kind of thing. So therefore I studied it, and it was really fun.
That's crazy. It's almost like the bar made a mistake and then you almost got didn't go to college, you know, because they
It's
changed you.
true.
You know,
It's
that's insane.
yes.
Wow. Crazy. Wendy has a record. Okay. Now
Yeah,
you have a little bit of a wild side, so that's good. You can't be all prim and proper all the time.
exactly.
Yeah, well, that's fascinating. I'm from Indiana, so they're a little weird out there, but I always think it's funny because there's such a restriction on alcohol. Like, you know, we're in Maryland, you know, there's certain rules here, and you can only buy it in certain
Right.
places. You go to Indiana, they have it's just there on the shelf next to the bread in the grocery store, but then they have it locked up like on Sundays or something. It's just very bizarre. All the rules are very interesting across the country. So,
That is, it's so true. It's so true.
yeah, I'm definitely not going to be drinking on Sunday because, you know, but I would, my family members who will rename, they know who they are, would Saturday night like go into a panic because they'd be out of beer on Sundays. They'd have to rush out driving probably when they shouldn't to go get more beer for Sunday because they couldn't buy it on Sunday. I'm like, this is like counterintuitive to me. I don't think they're solving anything by locking it up on Sunday.
Don't think so. People get their way around it.
Yeah, exactly. They'll just hoard it. Oh, well, crazy. Okay. Prohibition is interesting. Number two, how did you choose the setting for your novel? I'm curious because it's people talk about the setting of your books almost as much as they talk about the characters. So is it based on where you live, personal experiences, Ohio bars? Where did you find up this idea?
I moved here to the Eastern Shore in the, let's see, it was the end of, it was like 1989, and I lived here for 8 years and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But because of jobs and schools, we had to go back to Annapolis. And but I always said I would return here. I told all my friends I would come back. And so my now husband and I came here to visit my daughter, and there was this house on the river that I drove by every day, take my kids to school, that I absolutely loved. And we were looking for a place to get together. And it was had a for sale sign. And I saw the for sale sign and I said, "Oh my God, Bob, it's a sign." And he said, "Yeah, I know it's a sign." I said, No, it's a sign. We were meant to be in this house." So I'm back here now. But I love the Eastern Shore. It's just so quirky. There's watermen, there are farmers, there's a college here, you know, there's all kinds of things to work with. And it's just very, very unique. And it's I think there are 13 stoplights in the county that I live in. So it's very rural, but there's just so many characters. And it's fascinating because when you all live together so closely and there are not very many of you know, like there's no cancel culture. Like, you know, people forgive you if you do something because they know they're going to run into you the next day at a bar or in the grocery store or on the street. So it's people are a lot more understanding and forgiving of one another is my take on it. And it's just a really fun place to write about. There's so much atmosphere with the environment and the water, and just people are really unique.
Absolutely. It is an interesting, unique part of the country. You know, we just happen to live in the state, but it's fascinating, the whole shore aspect. And I was surprised at the amount of history that has taken in place because it's not just a beach town. There's a lot of history that's gone on out that way.
Yes.
We have a beach house out in Ocean City. So we go through kind of your area quite often, but you see those little road markers like, oh, something really important happened here too. It's not just beach people. Well,
Absolutely. Yeah,
cool.
this town is pre-Revolutionary War.
Yeah, fascinating. And it's old, but it's, you know, it is beautiful, and the people, it's a laid back vibe, I would say. Whenever I have to
Absolutely.
stop, yeah, it's laid back. It's
Yes.
very nice. It's a place to set a cozy mystery for sure, as
Yes.
you've proven. Okay, tell us about your characters. Your main character. How did you did she come to you fully formed? Did you know, develop her over time? And do you keep like a Bible so you remember, like shellfish or not? Or you know, how do you build your characters, how do you maintain them, and how do you carry forward with them?
Yeah, she came to me when I first sat down to write this book, and I just fell in love with her and knew her right away. I write in first person. It's very easy for me to write in her head, and I just loved her. She's vulnerable. She's funny. She's curious, obviously, very, very curious. She has one daughter who she adores, and she's a wonderful mother. I had someone come up to me and say, I love your books because the mother and daughter have such a great relationship. She goes, I read so many books where the mother and daughter hate each other. And she said, it's just, I get to relax when I read your books. I call my mother every day. And I just love that they have that relationship. But as, and it's the series starts out where she's living in Chevy Chase with her husband. Her daughter's just gone off to college and she's planning a getaway for them for their new empty nest. And he announces that he's been having an affair for over a year with someone else. So she packs up her bags and she moves to the Eastern Shore to a house and farm that her aunt had willed her about 3 or 4 years ago that she just neglected. And so she arrives at the farm lost, and a farmer shows up, walks down the lane, who, and he had leased his aunt's her aunt's lands, excuse me. And then when Rosalie got the house, she just ignored it. So he wants to know if he can lease them again. And when Tyler shows up in the road, I started describing him and I was like, oh my God, this guy's going to have a huge part in this book. And of course, it eventually becomes a love interest. And I really love writing their relationship. And then she also met a guy who's in his early 70s, who's recently widowed. And Glenn is a very proper, very intelligent man. And they became friends because they were both lost living in the fictional town of Cardigan. And they become partners, and they decide. Rosalie finds a dead body in the river outside of her farm, and they rule it an accident. And of course, she found her, so she's very curious about what really happened to her. So she and Glenn pair up, and I had a great time writing that. And during her healing process, she gets her aunt's old bread recipe and begins making bread, and then she begins selling it around town, and that's what leads her into ha having her own cafe. So she opens a cafe in the second book. And I have some great characters that I love. I have her sidekick, Janice, who I give her all the good lines, all the funny lines. And so, you know, it's interesting, and I'm sure you've run across this too. By the time I reached this fourth book, you know, I didn't want to describe the original characters in like a boilerplate description because I wanted to entertain the people who have read the first three, but I also wanted it to be a standalone. So when I tried to come up with a new way to describe each character that's been in the other three books. And one of the ways I did it is I let them tell their story. Rosalie is curious, as I said, and so she's asked them to tell their story. And I've had so much fun with that. So that each person has their own story, their own narrative, and it was a way, or I tell a funny story about how, like, say how Rosalie and Janice met. And or how Janice met her husband. And it was just a different way to introduce these characters, but hopefully entertaining. I really had fun with it.
Yeah, and I do think that's the balance you have to strike because you want to welcome back the people from the first, but you also have to treat every book as if they picked it up first
Yes.
and read it. So there has to be a unique experience to that reader because they may not know it's a series and they just pick it up and buy it and read it and like it'll leave them lost, but then you also don't want to be so repetitive. So it's an art there. And I think you did a good job. It's something we always have to juggle.
Yes, I know my daughter read the Babysitter's Club's books when she was a kid, and every chapter was exactly the same. It described each character, where they lived, what they did. And so we knew to just skip that chapter. So I didn't want to go there, you know, to describe every way that everyone the way I did in the first book.
Yeah, well, you're smart. You're smart to do that. You know what you're doing. That's good. Well, so you're a writer, and all good writers are good readers. So who were your favorite authors to read before you decided to write yourself? And I really love that origin story about your daughter. That was very, very sweet. So who did you like to read? Your mom's a big reader. So did you pick up
Oh,
her
she was.
books? Yeah, how did that go?
It's interesting. After graduate school, I was so burned out from writing and reading and all that stuff that I didn't read for probably 3 or 4 years. And then I had my daughter, and we all went to the beach in North Carolina, and my mom was reading a book, and which she was always doing. And I looked over, and she was crying. And I was like, "What are you reading?" And she said, "The Bean Trees by Barbara Kingsolver." And I said, "Well, I want to read it." And so she gave it to me, and I read it in a day and was crying at the end of it and absolutely loved it. And that got me back into reading. You know, I love Barbara Kingsolver, but I really do give her credit for getting me back into reading. I love mysteries, but I love all books. I just read Lessons in Chemistry and I just loved that book. Oh my gosh. There again, it reminded me of my mother. She was the first woman to graduate with a degree in geology from Northwestern. And she had a professor that thwarted her and sabotaged her, but she made her way through. And then my dad moved her to a small town in Ohio. They only had one car. She had three kids and was a stay-at-home mom, but she white-knuckled that. It was not what she wanted to be doing. She didn't really enjoy dinner. She would make a martini and turn on the television and make dinner. And when I started, I was the youngest. So when I started second grade, she immediately, we got a second car. She got in that car and she went and got her master's and never looked back. So that I thought of my mom through that story, and it was so well written. I just loved that.
Yeah, well, your mom sounds like a character. She sounds like a fascinating.
See,
I want to read the book of your mom.
yeah, you
I would
know,
read that
that's
book.
up there. It's up
Yeah,
there.
that's awesome. Yeah, that's there's a lot of yeah, that's fascinating. Because well, I it this is enlightening to me because I read your work, and I you know you write traditional mysteries, cozy mysteries, I guess you could say, but you there's a literary bent to them, and I can tell there's a real intelligence behind the you know not that other people aren't intelligent, but you tend to bring. That you read outside the genre, I think, is informing some of your choices as a writer, and that's fast. I was an English major, so I had to read outside. I had to read everything, and I
Yeah.
know what I know
Did
what
you
it
need a
feels like.
break?
Yes, I
Yes.
absolutely did. Right after college, I did. I just read sort of like very junky, easy things, just on the subway. You know, none, it wasn't anything I remember. And then I remember getting back into it as well. It's just because you're just so strung out, and you're just so tired and. A being forced to read. Imagine being forced to eat wonderful food all day long, and then you're like, I don't want to eat anything right now. I'm gonna drink water for a couple days, okay? Leave me alone.
That's a good
But
analogy.
yeah, the one I remember specifically was when I had my son, who's now he's 13. And I remember just after having the baby, I was so tired, and I just couldn't imagine reading. And I had just you just I was just exhausted, and you know, going through giving birth and all that stuff, and I just couldn't imagine reading. But then I picked up. I was nursing him, and I was like, I have to read something. I'm going insane. So I started reading The Hunger Games, and that is not my genre. That is not a thing. You know, I was 39. I was a late mom. I was 39. I'm reading The Hunger Games. I could not stop reading these things. I just couldn't. I was like, I'd be nursing him, literally like flipping on the Kindle, reading these books. But it kickstarted it again, and then I got all the way back into the reading every day. So that was just it's just funny how sometimes something you think is not going to be your thing just sparks something in you, and you start
Oh, I
reading
love
again.
that. I was doing a lifelong learning class last year with my third book, and they did an interview of me. And so the woman who was going to interview me reached out and said, "Do you want to talk before we do the interview?" And I said, "Oh, absolutely." And it's just what you're saying, you know, you have to find the right book that gets you back into it. And me too. And so this poor woman, she had a horrible time during the pandemic. She lost her husband, she lost her mother, she lost her father, she lost her best friend, not all to COVID, but you know, from other things, and had a bout with cancer, and was fully recovered, but she hadn't read a book in 4 years. And so they sent her my book, and she said she lives in Florida. She went out on her back porch and sat in the chaise lounge and started reading, and she's told me in tears that it was the first book she was able to finish in 4 years. And that made me just, it just made my day. It's like, that's why we write, you know, if someone has that kind of experience reading your book. You know, then again, I think you know, we don't take people where they don't want to go. You know, it's not a thriller, it's, you know, no mass murders, that kind of thing. And she was able to finish it. And it just made my, it's like, okay, this is why we do this. It's,
Absolutely. I had a very similar thing happen to me at the end of last year around the holiday time. And I was doing a book signing. I announced at an event, it was a Sisters in Crime event, that my series is coming back out. And you know, it's my series is old. It's books are a few years old now, 7, 8 years old. And I didn't think it was a big, you know, it's a big deal to me, but I'm like, okay, great, my book's coming out and it's gonna continue, blah blah. So I'm at the tables afterwards, and this woman comes up to me and she says, I can't tell you how happy I am to hear this. I said, oh, thanks. Because you know, you really saved my daughter's life. And I'm thinking, I write culinary mysteries. I don't, you know, it's not like life support, help, whatever books. It's just they're
Right.
fun. They're fun. But she was going through a really dark time and she wasn't connecting to anything. And then she picked up my books and she couldn't get enough of them. And she said it really brought her out of a dark place. And it was just, you know, she didn't go into too much detail, but I felt really, it was very moving to hear that. And I'm thinking, oh,
Oh,
wow.
that's
That, so,
incredible.
yeah. So the stuff you're doing at your desk, and you think, I wonder if anyone's even going to read this. You have no, I don't know who this person is. I don't know this woman. I don't know her daughter, but it's I'm happy that I got to help in some small way with the small little things, you know, that we do. Just but it's art is important, you know, it is important to the human experience, I think.
Absolutely. What a wonderful story. Oh my.
Yeah. So we both had that happen, and that's
Yeah.
I think it happens a lot. You just don't always hear about it because you're not in the same room with the person that happened to you or whatever. But yeah, that's fascinating to think, and it gives you, okay, it's time to write again. It's time to sit down
Yep.
and do it. When you don't want to, you have to do it anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need that motivation.
Yeah, like this morning, I'm like, oh, but I did it anyway. Okay, at the end, that was five. You did great. We always do a rapid fire quiz at the end, so here we go. Number one, do you prefer reading standalone novels or series?
Standalone, I think.
Oh, okay. That's interesting because you write series.
I know.
You don't have to like it. Okay. Number two, do you prefer reading books set in contemporary times or historical?
Contemporary.
Do you prefer to write in the mornings or the evenings?
Evenings,
Oh, really?
definitely.
Okay. You're off trend. Most people
I
say morning.
know. I know, but I like to have everything off my to-do list. All the counters are clean. Everything's all the clutter's gone, all the noise, and then I can just settle in.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, I can
Sometimes
go deep into the evening for sure.
are you late night person? Do you get to sleep in? Are you a sleeper enough?
No, I don't sleep in, but yeah, I kind of come alive in the evenings and yeah.
My mom's like that too. She just kind of goes, brain lights up at the end of the day. Mine's like,
Right.
would you rather watch a movie or a TV show?
A movie or a series?
Got it.
I love
There's
movies.
some, yeah, there's some movies are good. There's some good TV right now too. All right, this last one. If you could have dinner with any author, living or dead, who would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Pat Conroy.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love his writing. The Prince of Tides was one that moved me so much. I love it when a book makes me feel emotion. It makes me laugh. It makes me cry. And that book just is so full of emotion that I would love to pick his brain.
Yeah, I remember being moved by the bean trees too. I think we have
Yes.
similar. Yeah, I remember those two books were being very remarkably. I remember them for sure. Yeah, that's a good choice. I thought you were going to say Barbara Kingsolver. But we should invite her to dinner and then we cook for her and then we should give you our best friend. That'd be fun.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, well, great. You did good job. So what's going on with you? Sometimes you're on TV. Are you going on t you're promoting the book, you're out there with the book. What else is going on with you? What else are you working on? Are you doing more stuff? What's happening?
I'm writing five, number five. I've been crafting it, drafting it, all that. And I have so much fun. If I'm in the car driving and I'm looking around town and all that stuff, I think, oh, this would be a really good character. And so I think I have the murder. And I have, the second thread. So the more I can come up with before I sit down to start it, the easier it is for me. So that's what I'm heading for. I have a book signing tomorrow at there's a new bookstore in Edgewater outside of Annapolis called Word, WYRD. So there she's doing a local author event, so I'll be over there
Nice. Oh,
tomorrow.
that's cool. Cool. I'll have to head over there and see that because I'm not terribly far from Annapolis. I mean, it's not
No, you're
close,
not.
but I can get there. Cool. Well, that sounds great. Well, I'm so glad you were able to come on and chat with us today. And you're just a joy. And Wendy's books are amazing. And they're everywhere books can be found. But there are a lot of them, I think, are in libraries and bookstores out, especially in Maryland. They're everywhere. You can get them anywhere. Yeah. Thanks for being on the
Okay.
show. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sean. It's great to see you.
As always, good to see you too.